Thankful again to be here. I'm thankful for how God deals with us and comes down and works with us. And I appreciate seeing the saints and the people of God here this morning, this afternoon. The Lord has woke me up this morning with some precious thoughts, and I didn't really know if it's what I was supposed to do, but I feel him calling this afternoon, so I'm going to do my little best to share what he has given to me. What do you want your life to be like? Do you want it to be full and rich and your relationship with the Lord to be deep and abiding, or do you want it to just be real casual and disconnected and sporadic? What are you interested in this afternoon? My passion and my pursuit, relentless pursuit this afternoon is to have a deep and abiding relationship with the Lord. And I'm interested in my life counting for God and that my life would bear eternal fruit. And that's the little burden that I have on my heart today is bearing fruit. There's so much in the scripture. The scriptures just start pouring in when I begin to meditate on this subject. And the Lord has shown us some precious things through the years to turn that desire into reality. And there's the secret is in God's word. He has laid it out so clearly for us that we can be a tree of righteousness in the earth, bearing fruit that benefits mankind. That is the picture of the godly person that the scriptures give over and over again. And you just see that in just different writers. And let's start with, start with David there in Psalm 1. He brings it out so clearly. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But the godly man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is it possible to have a relationship with the Lord where your mind is truly toward the Lord and on the Lord most of the day and night? Sometimes people think, oh, that's just that people don't live that way. But, you know, our passion should be such for God that just every moment that you have that of your life that you dedicate your day and your life and your moments and hours to the Lord. And you turn the good things in your life into prayers of praise. The troubles, the needs in your life into prayers of asking help from God. And so we go from one to the other all through the day. And so when you learn to live with your heart constantly seeking after God, either for help or to thank him for help, you find that abiding in prayer begin to commune with him all through the day. And this becomes reality to you. It's relationship. You're no longer, you've transitioned from living by rules into living by a relationship that is back and forth. It's communion. It's abiding. And I'm going to use that word a lot because this is the secret to fruit bearing. The secret to fruit bearing is union with Christ. Every time in physical relationships, union produces fruit. In natural and botany and biology, union produces fruit. And it is that way spiritually, only through union with Christ, through abiding. We're going to read those scriptures. But this man, he abides by his delighting in God day and night. And This says that the godly person will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We have another in Isaiah 61, the result and the effect of the gospel that the Spirit of the Lord gave to Jesus. And Jesus stood up and in the meeting house, and he gave what the Lord had inspired him from Isaiah 61. And he said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears. And the result of that is in verse 3. Well, let's just read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings. And I believe when Jesus read it, he said the gospel. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the day of salvation. And the day of vengeance of our God. That means that divine vengeance on the enemy, every man's soul, to deliver them from the bondage of Satan. That's what that day of vengeance means. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called, what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, where does the Lord plant them? What does it say in Psalms? They'll be like a tree where? Planted by the rivers of water. Now, when the Lord plants you, that's where salvation plants you, living and only surviving and thriving and growing because you're drinking of the river. That's what salvation does for you. We sing that. I am dwelling in the kingdom. I'm drinking of the river. That's what salvation is. You begin to take Christ's life into you. Live by his life. You've been saved by his death, but you live by his life, Romans 5 says. So when God plants you, he plants you by the river. You'll only grow and survive and thrive and bear fruit by the river. If you get away from the river, you're going to quit bearing fruit. Our life is in the river of God. And what is that river? It's the river of his life coming into us. That's what the Christian life is. The Christian life is so much better than just living by somebody what they told you to do. It is living his life living through you. It's not your own efforts anymore, but it's that you yield your life to him as a vessel. A vessel, this water has been poured into the vessel. There's nothing about the vessel that's anything. Without the water in it, it's just a dry cup. But that's the way we are. And we're going to look at each other, look at how the scripture shows us what we are in another kind of way too. There were several other places in the scripture. Jeremiah, he mentioned the tree. They that trust in the Lord, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You get away from the river, you trust in your own self, what happens? Your life is cursed and barren. But he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's not how I want my life to be. Is that how you picture your life? How about when you're 40? You young people, what do you want your life to be like in your 40s? You want to be an old grouch? Seriously. What do you want your life to be? Do you want it to be full of fruit? You want to be the parent that has a good relationship with your teenagers. How do you want your life to be? How do you want to be when you're 80, when you're 75? You want to be that person that nobody wants to come and visit. What you're choosing to do right now is going to be, that's what kind of person you'll be in the future. Blessed is the man, verse 7, that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. There's the secret again. And shall not see when heat cometh. What does that mean? I don't think it means that the tree won't ever go through hot weather, but it's like it doesn't really bother it. The hot weather comes, but my roots are at the river. So let the wind blow, let the heat come, whatever, but I've got a source. And that's our lives, because we really go through some blasts of heat and storm and all. But the reason why you see a victorious Christian standing and having joy and peace and being able to raise their hand and you know they're going through a rough time is because we've got our roots by the river. That's where that comes from. It doesn't come from us. And there's a place in the scripture, and I think it may be Hosea. Let me just look at that. Hosea 14, and a little sentence at the verse end of verse 8. He says, from me is thy fruit found. That's Jesus talking to us. Only from him. And we're going to get to where he said that in his own words. But back to finishing the verse in Jeremiah. He said here, he shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful or full of anxiety in the year of drought. You know, that's where you find that in, I think, in Habakkuk, where it says, although the fruit won't be in the vine, the fig tree will wither, and there won't be any calf in the stall, yet I will rejoice. He's talking about drought all the way around you, but you yourself are not affected because you've got a connection to the river. It says, he shall not be careful or full of anxiety in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want to get another one from Psalms, and maybe you can help me if I can't find it. I want the one, and I think it's 92. Let's see. Yes, 92 and verse 12. My dad already knows which one it is. Read it for me, Dad. Those
that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
That doesn't sound like a barren life.
Fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
This is the wonderful enduring quality of this spiritual life. It does not wane in old age. The mind, the body may weaken, but the spiritual fruit is still there. Isn't that amazing? Sometime when you get a moment, look up in some commentaries and some Bible dictionaries about the cedar in Lebanon and the palm tree that he's speaking about. He was, and I've looked this up, and I'm not trusting my memory to just tell you all the facts, but when I looked it up, I was so amazed at the picture that this was presenting, and I'm thinking, Lord, you want our life to be this way? Help me, God. But it was like a palm tree that was just hundreds of little, it's a date palm talking about. Hundreds of dates on this palm tree. That is just a picture of what he wants our life to be like. And dates were the sustaining food. There was the blood sugar, the enough fiber and enough sugar in those dates to sustain a person. If that's all you had to eat for a while, you could eat those dates. It's just amazing the fruit that God made. And then I read about the cedar in Lebanon. It had a fragrance that just was renowned. And it wasn't like these little old knobby cedars in Oklahoma, but it was a big mountain evergreen that was just big and lush. and the wood of it was used. Well, it's very famous in the Bible, the wood, the products from this tree. God made this as everything that he did in the spiritual life. He made a mirror of it in the physical life. The things that can be known of God are clearly seen in his creation, the scripture says. So all the secrets of spiritual life, you begin to look at the trees, anything you want to know about God, there is a secret in what he created that will just feed your soul and instruct you and challenge you. And I find that when I look at trees. Now I want to look at what Jesus said. I'm sure you've been saying she needs to go to John 15. Come on, John 15. We're getting there. Let's look at John 15, where Jesus speaks to us about a vine. Now we've been speaking about a tree, but it doesn't hurt the analogy. It doesn't do anything to give it. It's the same lesson. So we're going to look at it in just a little bit different. He's going to talk now about a vine and we being branches of the vine. He said in John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Did you know there are false vines? And if you get hooked up to false vines, you have bitter fruit. And that's what happened to God's people in the Old Testament. He talked about fruit that was bitter and like gall. That's an awful bitter substance. Anyway, we want to be connected to the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, the one who takes care of the vine and its branches. He has a method of working with it and dealing with it. And the object is, the goal is, for any vineyard, we want fruit. This is what we're after. We're not having a vineyard and we want grape leaves, but we're wanting grapes. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's the end of fruitlessness. That's serious. He takes that branch away. Have you seen it happen? I've seen it happen in people. Well, where's this person? They've been taken away. So let's be very serious about this. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He prunes it. He prunes it. Brother Stanley said this, and I wrote this in my Bible. The pruning shears are going to be our means of making heaven. The Father does this for us. Now always remember, I'm being pruned and this is for me to bear fruit. I've been bearing fruit. Why has this happened to me? I've been praying, I've been reading, and here I have this. I've heard this from people before. What is going on with this? Why am I having this? You've been bearing fruit. You've started. And the Lord says, oh, good job. Let's do some more. And so he's pruning. He's starting to work on us. Thank the Lord. He took you at your word and you said, Lord, I want to be yours forever. And I want you to fill me and I want to die to self. And the Lord heard you. He said, okay. So he's going to start working on you. And it's a process. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. That is the deep life that I cannot do without, and you cannot do without. This is what we're after. This is what Satan wants to take from you. This is what you won't find in nominal Christianity. This right here. This is the secret to fruit bearing. And as God told the children of Israel, the commandment that I've given you is not too hard for you. but it is very nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. It's just the consent of all of your will to say, Lord, I want to be yours completely and forever. And I just want you to abide in me and never leave. Stay with me. Live in me. Speak to me day and night. Wake me, Lord. I want to hear your voice. When you go to bed at night, let the last thing you do be to say to God, Lord, speak to me in the morning. Wake me up with you. And sometimes before you ever wake, you ever have a little voice just begin bringing a scripture or song to you, and you wake up and you think, oh, that's wonderful. That's been the Lord speaking to you. He wants to wake with you. He wants to abide in you. And then he says, abide in me. How do we abide? And he tells us right here in the scripture, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, some people feel like I'm doing everything right, but I'm just not feeling anything. I don't have the joy. You know, joy is a fruit. It's more than just doing everything you know right. That is a start, but that's kind of the law. You want to get into the Spirit. You want to get into knowing the Lord and His law written in your heart, so that what begins to come out of your life is Him. The promptings, the nature. He wants to put His nature in you. He wants you to give you His divine nature. He wants you to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. He wants to give you His nature. It's so much easier to live for the Lord when He gives you His nature. And you're not constantly just sympathizing with your own nature and holding on to your own nature. But just let it go and say, Lord, you abide in me, and I want to abide in you. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So the very secret of bringing forth much fruit is abiding. Now, Jesus also gave us another secret to much fruit. It's in John 12 and verse 24. And he not only gave it to us in word, but he exemplified it in what he did. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now, I ask you at the beginning, what kind of life do you want? Do you want a lonely life? Do you want a barren life, a desert life, a prickly cactus life? Do you want an empty life? Or what kind of life do you want? I want a full, rich life. I want the joy, a joy that lasts and endures through everything that I go through. I want peace in my heart, in everything. You want that, don't you? Well, he said, except you fall into the ground and die, you're going to abide alone. Just one little old kernel. You could set a kernel of corn or a kernel of wheat on your windowsill and say, grow. Come on, grow. That thing's going to sit there. It's got to be put into the warm earth and watered, and the sun fall on it. And you know what happens to it? The physical outside kernel begins to rot and fall away. Oh, there's a wonderful spiritual truth in this. Another one is in 1 Corinthians 15. He says in verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. It has to die. The outside of that kernel has to die, because God has put an inner seed inside the kernel. that has explosive potential of life. I marvel at the strength of the seedling. Did you know that a seed dandelion can come up in asphalt, I think. I mean, there's an explosive quality in a seed. A little bean, you've done this probably in school, put a little bean on some soil or a piece of wet cardboard and put a penny on top of it, and that bean sprout and it knocks over the penny. I think we had that even illustrated in our science book. But there's something inside the seed that cannot grow and bring forth life unless the outside die. Now that outside is your personhood, your selfhood. You say, why do you always have to get into this? And here's what, every time that I look at scriptures that deal with fruit bearing, you know what I find? I find scriptures that have to do with dying with Christ. Every single time. What kind of life do you want? If you hold on to your selfhood and your personhood and you cling to that outside kernel, you pay attention to it, you respond to it, you live to it, you feed it, you pamper it, that is your life. You are a bare kernel. The inside, that the potential for great spiritual life is dormant while you and I live that way. But if we can yield to God completely, and he showed us how. He, through the Spirit, offered himself to God. You can do this. Say, God, I don't know how to give myself to you. Isn't that amazing? God's saying, you must give yourself to me. But we have to have his help in giving ourselves to him. But he will help you. He will help you to know how to die. So you die, you fall into the ground and die. And Jesus showed us. This is what Jesus did. He went to the cross. He gave up his life. They didn't take his life from him. He gave up his life. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. He gave up his life. He fell into the ground and died. And what are all we here today? You're a piece of fruit, and your fruit, and your fruit. See all the fruit, and this is just one little gathering of the Lord's fruit. And this is just one little day, but think of the ages. Think of the many millions Christians down through the ages, because Jesus Christ was the seed that fell into the ground and died. It says, if it die, it bringeth forth, and here's what we're interested in, much fruit. Much fruit. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let me just have you interact with me a little bit. Somebody else get Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And someone else get Galatians chapter 5. Yes, there's one verse that I want to get right now. First, I want to get verse 24, which comes after the verses about the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to get verse 24. So Galatians 5:24. Okay, somebody have Romans. No, let's see. I'll get Romans 6. But somebody have the one in Luke. Luke 9 and 23 and 24, I believe, is what I want.
Save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
There you have it again. Lose your life so that you can find real life. Lose that old person so that you can find the person inside that God has created to come out and be a beautiful tree. Romans 6, I wanted to just look in that just for a little bit. I want to look at verse 11 first. Likewise, reckon ye also, like Christ did, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it to the in the lust thereof. So he's talking about the desires of our flesh and our personhood and our old man. Reckon it. That's an accounting term. It's what you do, write it off. This part of me is dead. This part of me has been yielded completely to Christ. I no longer respond to this. And sometimes you have to say it to yourself. Okay, you are dead. You are not being yielded to. I'm not giving in to you. I'm not pampering you anymore. I am dead with Christ. Reckon it to be so each and every day. And he read the one that said, take up your cross daily. This is what's same thing, just said in a different way. Take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and lose your life daily. Paul in one place said that we... let me just reference that. I'm not through in Romans, but I just want to reference this. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the dying of the Lord Jesus, we bear about that in our body, that his life may be manifested in our body. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Every time you read about the life of Christ living in us and us bearing fruit, it has connection with dying first. So let's remember, that's the secret. And it's not too hard for you. It's right there near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, Scripture says. So we die daily with him and reckon ourselves to be dead. Back to Romans 6. We can keep on going here. For sin, verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You're under the, how is grace defined? It is divine aid, divine enablement. That's the word I'm looking for. It's the divine enablement. It is the influence of God on the heart and its effects in the life. That's what grace is defined in, as in the Greek. The influence of God on the heart and its effects in the life. And when we live that way, not just by the law, but by that divine influence, which influences you in deeper ways than rules could ever influence you. But it speaks to your motives. It speaks to your intents. It speaks to the secrets of your heart. And it changes you into an image where before you acted in total self-preservation and total love and total wanting attention and people to respond to you. And now he changes it around to where you act in total love to other people. That's the influence of God in your life. That's the aloneness that people have in selfhood, is that everything is geared to me. I want to control you to do what I want you to do. Die.
That's right.
So that you may live.
Yes.
You are not really living when that's how your life is. You are alone and barren. There is no joy in selfhood. There is no joy in being a controlling person. The controlling people that I know have perpetual frown. And as they get older, it gets like cemented into their facial features. But the Christians who love the Lord and whose hearts are turned outward to serving others, they get sweeter, and sweeter as the years go by. The fruit is being born in their lives. He said here, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are." Let's go on. He goes on down now. For ye were, verse 20, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." No, you didn't have to do all of those things that the Lord wants you to do. But I don't like that kind of freedom. To be free to be selfish, I'm not interested anymore, because it is death. And that's what this says. For what fruit had you in those things? Was there any fruit in living in sin? Just think of the popular sins nowadays. They're essential selfishness. Really? You say, "Oh, that's immoral and wrong." The root of it is, I want to be pleased. I want pleasure constantly. I just want to indulge. Don't put any realms of boundaries on me. And that's the barrenness. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. What fruit had you in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin. And remember, verse 7 said, "He that is dead." This death to yourself. "He that is dead is free from sin. Being now made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end is everlasting life." That's what we want in our lives. That's what kind of death we want to have. What kind of a funeral service do you want? Do you want there to just be just a handful of people there? You had no friends. You had no people that loved you. Or do you want to have a funeral where there are people there that you touch their lives and you influence them for the Lord, and they're grateful that you have lived, and they love your memory? And this is eternal fruit. Did I give another one? Galatians 5 and 24. Anybody want to get that for me? This is one of the most challenging scriptures in the whole Bible to me. 24. Go ahead. Christ. The flesh. That's right. They've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Oh, I want to be Christ. Don't you? I want to belong to Him. I want Him to own me. I want Him to say, "That's mine." Like Brother Philip said last night, I want to mean it with all my heart, and mean it so much that the Lord knows I mean it. And whenever that connection is made, the seal is given, the Holy Spirit is given to that person who knows, "I have given my life and my will completely and wholly to God, and I'm not taking it back. I mean it with all my heart." It doesn't require feelings. It's an act of your will. You give yourself to the Lord. And the Lord says, "You gave yourself to me. You're mine." And He knows you're His, and you know you're His. Let the fruit bearing begin, because that's where it is. Fruit always comes from a union. It comes when you and I are united with Christ. A great big movement of people in here clapping, and a great big movement of people going out and doing good deeds, you may think, "That's what I want to be a part of. I wish we could all just bear fruit." The secret to bearing fruit is being crucified with Christ. It's not a great big thing going on. There's so much more. I don't want to keep you so long. How do we abide in Him? Back to John 15. I want to know, Lord, help me. How do I abide in You? Let's get several things that have been said in the scriptures. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I believe in John 14, he said in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And this is the secret to the Father abiding in us. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So loving him, doing what he says, not just the written things, but just giving your life and your mind to him every day and saying, Lord, just instruct me. I will obey you. I will do what you want me to do. What you know to do, do it. Without quibbling. What does it say? Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's how you abide. You abide by loving him so much that you will not disobey him. Oh, there's such a wonderful joy in abiding in that way. Abide in me. Let's see. I wanted to get now verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I believe he's talking here about fruit bearing. And there are two kinds of fruit bearing that I see in the scriptures. The one, the graces and the characteristics of the spiritual life. And that we find in different places in the scripture, but in Galatians we find it. Galatians 5. You want to read that one now? You've been wanting to read that. Galatians 5 and 22. Yes. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, when we begin to bear these things, what happens? The Lord begins to send a pruning into our lives. It only is to produce more of these things. He sends you the difficult person to deal with. It may be your sibling. It may be your parent. It may be your child. It may be your spouse. It may be the next door neighbor. Or whoever, the person in the congregation that you just do not understand. These things are not sent to harm us, but to produce fruit in us. Oh, thank the Lord. The other kind of fruit that I see in the scripture, and Jesus mentioned it here, I have called you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. What's he really talking about here? Souls. Souls. And when you apply this verse to the fruit bearing, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do for you. You begin to ask the Lord to give you those characteristics. It is his will to give you those. You begin to ask the Lord to help you to win souls. It is his will for you to win souls. This scripture, when you apply it to that, you can just without a doubt say, whatever I ask, the Lord is going to give it to me. He's not talking here about asking God to help you to get a car. He's talking here about fruit. So when you apply it to winning souls, or bearing the fruits of the graces of God. It is his will that you have meekness. It is his will that you have faith. It is his will that you have joy in your life. You can come without a doubt, without a hesitation to him and say, Lord, I just feel barren in my life. I just want you to fill me with joy in this situation. And the Lord will do it. You can be assured that he will do it. He will come to you. He will give you the peace. He will give you that joy. It says, from me. is thy fruit found? Now, he's going to be checking on you. Is your roots by the river? Are your roots by the river? Are you abiding in him? Are you united with him? Are you disconnected? Disconnected lives cannot bear fruit. You can ask and ask and ask, but you must have the connection. You must be connected to him and abiding in him. For that, and that's where he said it here in verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. When that is taking place, the things that we will, the things that we desire, those desires and that will is all tempered according to his will. 1 John says, if you ask anything according to his will. Now, when you're abiding, you only want his will. That's the abiding life. So that's where this scripture gets easier for me. It used to be a difficulty for me. But in the abiding, I'm not going to ask for things that aren't his will. You can ask for a daily infilling of his spirit. It is his will. Rest assured, he is going to do it. He's going to take you through. He's going to answer those prayers. Without a doubt. That is his will. You ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's the promise. That's in 1 John. So, in this abiding is the promise of answered prayer, but only in the abiding. In the disconnect, you find the prayers. Not only the prayers prayed, how is it? Amiss. You do not receive because you ask amiss. In the abiding, you learn and we learn to ask according to God's will. Herein, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear, hear these words again, much fruit. Remember the palm tree. Remember that cedar. The much fruit is the goal for our lives. And that's what we're pursuing after today. If you keep my commandments, let's see. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Oh, that is the great example of relationship. What Jesus and his Father had, he said that now as I live by the Father, you're going to live by me. Isn't that amazing that really salvation is the gift of relationship that he had with the Father? He now gives it to us to live just like that. What a challenge and what an opportunity and what potential. Oh, to know that. That's what we want. To know how to live by Jesus as he lived by his Father. Oh, dear God, let that be a reality in us. Please give us that relationship. As young people, as older people, as parents, we must have the abiding. We need the fruit, Lord. We want to bear fruit. But how can we do it if we don't have the abiding? So we want you to abide in us. We want to live by you. We want to draw from you. We want that sap to come clear to the very little tiny branches of our tree. We want there to be little fruits way out on the edges. We want there to be beautiful green leaves that the nations can take hold of and say, oh, just being around you is a solace to me. There's just something about your life that just helps me. It seems like that I know now that I can get through my problem just by being with you. What is that? That is the fruit, the leaves of this godly tree. He wants all of us to be just trees everywhere with this beautiful fruit that people come up to and say, oh, that is wonderful. That helps me. Where do you get that? Isn't that, that's what we want our lives to be. That's what we want our marriages to be. a marriage that's full of spiritual fruit, blessing the community around us. People come up and say, you all have a glow. How many years have you been married? 30 years? Oh, I can't imagine. You live with him that long? And I say, yes, and I'm still excited to see him. He still is my love and my delight. And that's the fruit. That's the fruit of godliness. The effect of the grace of God in the life is this: these beautiful green leaves and luscious fruit that the prophet, David, John saw it. I don't know. I tried to connect this up with the tree of life. I'm just not deep enough to get that. But somehow there's a connection there that we partake of the tree of life, and yet almost I see it as we are the trees of life. Because if we're part of the vine, then we're also part of that life-giving tree to the world. Maybe somebody else could connect that better. But I know that the tree of life, it wasn't just one tree, but it looks like in the scripture that it was just like a forest, like a whole bunch of, on either side of the river and in the midst of it. Those are all spiritual terms, but I know one thing. It means that somebody is connected to the Lord, and that there's something in that that heals and blesses people. And that's what we want from our lives. We don't want the end of fruitlessness taken away and burned. Another scripture, oh, just to remind us of this, we don't want this in Hebrews chapter 6? Verse 7, for the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat, or fit for them by whom it is dressed. O Lord, help us to bring forth fruit and herbs, life-giving meat, fit for the dresser. Who's the dresser? The Father. O Lord, help us to bring forth fruit that's fit for you. And fit, meat, fitting or proper or worthy of them by whom it is dressed. That earth or that piece of ground, oh, and I think about what Jesus said about the good ground, is they who in an honest and good heart bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Takes that too. That kind of earth receives blessing from God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and whose is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We do not want to have the fruit of that, the briars. And back in Romans 6, I think I read this, but just refer to it again. The end of those things is death. Burning, death, I don't want to have that. I think it was 2 Peter, was it? The first part of, or where he said that if we do not add the graces of God into our lives, that we'll be barren and unfruitful. Oh, I do not want to be there. But if we do these things, he said, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. We want the abundant life, don't you? I crave for it. I seek for it. It is an everyday search. Many times moments of the day, I'm going inward and saying, no, Lord, I just want to live for you. I just want to love you with all my heart. Lord, just help me to cling to you and let your spirit just live in me and abide in me. And let me be a blessing. Show me how to speak to this person. Lord, help me to love this person like you do. Oh, what a challenge. What a challenge. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Oh, the challenge of the fruit that we are called to bear. Lord, help us today Thank you for your attention. Let us live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Abide in the Lord. Die so that we may live. Take step by step in the Spirit. And the beautiful fruit will be ours.